and now we're going to think small for this edition of the NPR Cities Project.
Becoming a world-class city.
Sense of ownership that this is our community.
A lot of folks have been talking about tiny house communities.
If other cities can do it, we can do it.
Today, tiny living. Houses and apartments that are only a few hundred square feet. They're touted as environmentally friendly, more affordable, and maybe even more communal. It's a question we'll explore in this next story. You can find tiny houses and micro-apartments here in the nation's capital. That's where NPR's Franklin Cater has been checking them out.
We'll start in a spot here in Washington where something very unusual got started. Not just one tiny house, but a group of them on one lot. We're a couple of miles north of the Capitol, behind a block of row houses, tucked between an alley and a cemetery.
Yeah, Franklin,
nice
right?
Nice to see you, yeah.
Yeah, good to meet you.
This is where I met Lee Pera back in September.
Before this, it was as kind of an illegal parking lot.
I saw that on Google Maps.
Yeah,
there's cars
exactly.
All over it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lee Pera helped turn this 11th of an acre lot into a tiny urban community called Boneyard Studios. Pera is 36, an EPA worker who says she finds Washington a little too gray-suited at times. For her, this is a step toward a dream of living simply in a creative community using an underused urban space. There's a little workshop and three tiny houses.
From like 18 to about 24 feet long by 8 feet wide, so pretty tiny, under 200 square feet, I would say.
These houses all face a central yard, and they have names like Para House and Minim House. On this day, two of these homes are open to visitors who want to learn about tiny houses. A couple of dozen people are milling around and popping in.
It's a wonderful use of the space. It just marries beautifully, and the windows just kind of bring you right into it.
Santo Garcia of Fort Myers, Florida, calls his interest a crazy fascination. The houses are sleek, modernist in style, ingenious in their use of space. This one, called the Matchbox, has a 10-foot ceiling with a loft bed. Jay Austin owns it.
That's the parlor over there, seating for about seven or so, two couches, and then kind of working the way to the kitchen. The countertops are each about 6 feet.
Two-burner stove, tiny shower, a little like a motorhome, but it feels more like a house. It cost around $45,000 to build. Cheap for a house right in one of the nation's most expensive cities. Back outside the Matchbox, Lee Pera says this community could be a model.
A lot of folks have been talking about tiny house communities, but most tiny houses are in someone's backyard or in a rural area. And I really wanted to see what we could do creatively in D.C. with urban infill and just another form of affordable housing.
Urban infill, the opposite of sprawl. It's a big theme these days as cities grow. Planners are looking for more ways to pack more people into places that are already developed. But here's the thing. City building codes and zoning pose obstacles to tiny house communities. Like many tiny houses, these are all built on big metal towable trailers. That skirts some building issues, but no one can legally reside here. In other words, Pera's community is just a showcase community. One kind of tiny community that cities are saying yes to is micro apartments. A half dozen buildings are either up or in the works here in D.C. alone. I'm now in an area with a lot of new restaurants and shops all around me. It's called the U Street Corridor. We're meeting somebody who lives in a very small apartment. I invited Lee Pera to come too. You might call this tiny house builder meets micro apartment dweller. Julie Williams lives in the Harper, a new building where apartments range from 350 to 450 square feet. On the elevator up, we're already comparing tiny stats.
And so you're in a studio?
A studio.
Okay.
I didn't know that many.
350.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's
decent. So how does that compare?
How does that compare to mine?
Yeah.
Mine's like 150.
No way.
Yeah.
Julie Williams is 37. She works for the National Institutes of Health. Give us the official tour.
So this is my washer and dryer right here. They're stackable.
So it's actually a pretty nice-sized bathroom.
Yeah, it is.
It's a pretty nice-sized bathroom. Mm-hmm.
Heel to toe here. 1, 2, 3. You got a 3-foot-wide vanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty good.
The bedroom / living room / kitchen is roughly 11 by 13. The price?
Oh, I pay $17.95, and it includes utilities across the street. Efficiencies are a lot more expensive. I think they start at like $2,300.
Sounds steep? Well, Julie Williams saw this as a real deal compared to neighboring buildings when she moved from her suburban condo. Now she reverse commutes to her suburban job.
My social life now is a lot better because I am single. I like knocking on my neighbor's door and be like, hey, Derica, da-da-da-da. Or she'll knock on my door and be like, I have a date. What should I wear?
A key idea of buildings like this is that people spend less time in their own apartments. There's common space. Think sharing economy, extra space when you need it. There's a roof deck, a reservable dining area, a lounge with TV and Wi-Fi. This is where Julie Williams brings dates, not to her studio. So what does our tiny house builder think of these micro units? Would you ever think about renting someplace like this?
Probably not. I'm at a stage in my life where, like, I want a house.
She'd rather be able to open her door and step right outside.
This is the golden age of rentals in this country.
Here on the street below, I'm joined by urbanist scholar Chris Leinberger of the Brookings Institution and George Washington University. He says these days, the percentage of renters in the market is growing. Micro apartments are partly a response to that, and this is the perfect spot for them.
So across the street, you know, coffee bar, there, that's where the Trader Joe's is, a bank, and restaurants left, right, and center.
All of D.C.'s new micros are in happening spots like this one. They're aimed at a demographic that includes Julie Williams and Lee Perra.
When you look at the fastest growing category of households, it's singles. By 2030, the largest category of households is singles.
Leinberger says to developers, small apartments are a win-win, a bit cheaper for the renter, yet more profitable per square foot. So what about the idea of an urban tiny house community?
It makes sense if you've got a really tight-knit community, but A, that's hard to put together. B, they don't last forever. Life happens. Some individual or some family has an argument with the group as a whole, and they move out, and then how do you deal with the ownership? How do you sell it?
Leinberger's market perspective may cut a little close for Lee Perra and her experience with Boneyard Studios. When I checked back this month, I learned Perra House is not in that showcase community anymore. The tiny house owners had an ugly falling out. Perra's still building her house, but she had it towed temporarily to a friend's backyard. Perra says she's seeking a new spot for that dream of an urban tiny house community. She's also rethinking what she really wants.
I'm not going to try and plan for what this house is going to be in 10 years. I might not have it. Maybe I'll sell it. I could easily see it being like on a piece of property that I have for like a little retreat area.
Less urban.
Yeah, maybe.
But Julie Williams, our micro apartment dweller, is with us touring this house in its new location, and she's liking the idea of a lone tiny house on a backyard.
Even as you were talking about moving, I was like, wow, I could build one of these and move into my sister's backyard and just be near her kids all day and still have my own space. Like, literally, my mind was, like, all the way over here.
Yeah.
That quickly. So I think it's nice.
That is, she says, if she stays single. Because how we live is not all about good design and proximity to others. It's also about stage of life. In Northeast Washington, Franklin Cater for the NPR Cities Project.